Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Let's read, starting in verse 1. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with them." Today, I'd like us to talk about family success. Theodore Roosevelt said in 1917, "No other success in life, not being president, or being wealthy, or going to college, or writing a book, or anything else, comes to the success of the man or woman who can feel that they have done their duty and that their children and grandchildren rise up and call them blessed." I think there's a lot of truth to this. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he's been down the road a lot longer than I have. His children are grown up now, and he's been in ministry for many, many, many years. And he said something to me that really stuck with me. He said, "When you get to be my age, you realize what you have done in ministry isn't near as important to you as your family." You know, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think there's a lot of truth in the fact that there is a lot of blessing that comes from having a wonderful family, from having a family that is a blessing to you. You see, your family's success will be a great blessing to you. That is, I think it is important that we see what God has to say about the family. So I think it's important, because family can be such a great blessing, that we see what God says about having a successful family. I think sometimes we complicate having a successful family, but I think it's as simple as obeying these passages of Scripture before us. I want you to know, that's what I've seen in my own life. Now, I'm not bragging about having a successful family, but what I am saying is this: when I apply what the Word of God says right here, our family is successful, okay? And you can have the same in your family. I think it's very important that we follow God's Word to have a successful family, and I think you will see in your life, if you follow these principles, your family will be a great blessing to you, okay? So, first of all, family success comes when children understand the blessing that comes from obeying their parents. First of all, I want us to see that obedience to our parents is ultimately obedience to the Lord. Look what it says here in verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So this phrase, "in the Lord," it also means that children should not break the commandment of God to obey one's parents, but in following and obeying one's parents, you will be following God. You will be following God. Notice, it is right. The phrase, it is right. This means that your obedience to your parents will please the Lord. It will also help you stay in His will and direction for your life. Understand that, kids and adults. Understand something. God has given you your parents to help you stay in God's will. They can direct you and help you in God's will, because they want what's best for you. And nobody probably knows you as well as your parents do, except for maybe your spouse and the Lord. So it's good to kind of get some direction from them. It's good for us to obey our parents, because it will keep us in God's will. This is very important. So we want to recognize that when we obey God, when we obey our parents, we're obeying God and we're pleasing the Lord, and He's able to keep us in His will and in His direction for our lives. Now, obedience to one's parents must be done with the right attitude. Kids, listen to me. Obedience to one's parents must be done with the right attitude. So, if I tell Michaela, will you please go get me a tissue? And she gets up and storms out the door, grabs the tissues, storms back and says, "Here!" Now, she did what I said, right? She got the tissue. But did she do it with a respectful attitude? Did she honor her dad? No, not at all, right? So attitude matters as much, if not more, than actions. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go on in this passage. But I want you to understand, kids, not only should we do what our parents ask us, but we should do it with honor. Honor means to respect one's parents. Now, you may say, "Well, my parents aren't very respectable." Understand something. Your behavior doesn't have to be determined by another person's behavior. You get that? Your behavior doesn't have to be determined by another person's behavior. So, suppose I say to Michaela, I know I'm using you a lot here, Michaela. "Michaela, hey, will you please get me a tissue, dummy?" Okay, suppose I said that. Now, I would hate to say that, but suppose I said that. Suppose I demeaned my daughter in asking her to get me a tissue. Now, should that change her action or respect or attitude toward me? Should it? No, it shouldn't. The same obedience and attitude should be displayed. Why? Because she's not doing it ultimately for me. She's doing it for the Lord. Her obedience and right attitude is commanded by the Lord, and she will be in God's will if she'll display those actions and attitudes regardless of how I treat her. She'll still be blessed. You understand? Don't rob yourself of God's blessings because someone else didn't behave the way they ought to. Okay? That's very important for us to realize. That's a principle that goes beyond the relationship of child and parent. Understand that. So, let's respect our parents, honor them, value their counsel. Value your parents' counsel. Now, obviously, like I said before, if their counsel is unbiblical counsel, you know, remember, in the Lord, that's what we want, to obey our parents in the Lord. So our greater responsibility is to the Lord, but we should respect their counsel and value their counsel. It also means caring about them. Now, I understand that some people have parents that didn't care about them the way they ought to have. But you know what? Remember, you were bought by a Savior who cared about you when you didn't care about him. Right? Think about that for a minute. We need to remember this. We need to remember that the Lord wants us to do this regardless of our parents' behavior. It means having a good attitude toward them. Now, understand this also. This doesn't ever end, okay? I've been out of my parents' house for many years now, but I still display honor and respect towards my parents, and I still do what they ask me to. Last week, or the week before, they called me up and said, "Bill, we need a dryer. Will you call up Wickford Appliance and get us a dryer and get the best price you can?" So I did. I got them the dryer, went there, got the best price I could for them, found a dryer, had the dryer delivered. And the next day, my mom calls up again, says, "Bill, I hate this dryer. I hate this dryer. Get rid of it. I don't want it. I hate this dryer. Order me another one." And I was like, okay. Now, do you think I disrespected my mom? Of course not. I didn't say, "Mom, that's dumb. You're just being too picky. Just use that one. It's fine. It'll dry the clothes." No, I didn't do that. I'm 46 years old, but I'm going to respect my mom and do what she asks. So what did I do? I called up Wickford Appliance. I said, "My mom hates the dryer. Can we get another one over there? Get her one with this and that and the other thing." And she got the dryer, and now she's happy. So anyways, it doesn't end. It doesn't end, adults. We should honor our parents. Care for them. Respect their opinion. Value their counsel. Okay? Because that's an example to your children. Understand that. That is an example to your children. Do you want your children someday to still care about you? To respect your opinion? To honor you when you ask them to do something for you when they're older? Well, be an example of that now. Okay? So, look at verse 3 for a minute. Look at verse 3. It says, "That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Now, here's the blessing, kids. So, if you will respectfully obey your parents, your life is going to be better and longer. Better and longer. Now, this is speaking generally, but if you will respect and obey your parents, you will have a better, longer life. This is very important for us to understand. This creates family success. I hope you can see that. I hope you can see how that would be the case. So let's respectfully obey our parents, knowing this is pleasing to the Lord, and it will help us stay in His will and allow Him to bless us with a better, longer life. Now, let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "As you fathers, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, family success comes When parents allow the Lord to guide their instruction and discipline of their children. Now, the plural word for fathers here is used in a collective sense to mean parents. And I think we can see in the context here, especially where it says, honor your mother, your father and your mother, that this is directed towards parents. So parents, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. Now, I want us to understand how we provoke our children to wrath. You can provoke your child to wrath or to anger or bitterness not by not consistently disciplining them in love. Now, I got a little illustration up here that Luke is going to show you. This is Veruca. No, not that one. Wrong one. All right. Get to Veruca, please. Okay. Oh, that's it. Awesome. All right. I want you to see this. Turn that up.
I know, Angel. We're doing the best we can. I've got every girl on the bleeding staff hunting for you.
Turn it up.
All right. Where
Turn
is it?
Up.
Why haven't they found it?
Veruca, sweetheart, I'm not a magician. Give me time.
I want it now. What's the matter with those twats down there?
For 5 days now, the entire flipping factory's been on the job. They haven't shelled a peanut in there since Monday. They've been shelling flaming chocolate bars from dawn to dusk.
Make them work nights.
Come along, you girls! Put a jerk in it, or you'll be out in your ears, every one of you! And listen to this! The first girl that finds a golden ticket gets a £1 bonus in her pay packet! What do you think of that?
They're not even trying! They don't want to find it! They're jealous of me!
Sweetheart, I can't push them no harder! 19,000 bars an hour they're shelling! 760,000 they've done so far!
You promised, Daddy! You promised I'd have it the very first day!
You're going to be very unpopular around here, Henry, if you don't deliver soon.
It breaks my heart, Henrietta. I hate to see her unhappy.
I won't talk to you ever again! You're a rotten, mean father! You never give me anything I want! And I won't go to school till I have it!
Veruca, sweetheart, angel. Now, there are only 4 tickets left in the whole world, and the whole ruddy world's hunting for them! What can I do?
I got it! I got it! It's the soul! Here it is!
About time, too! I want it! Give me that ticket!
Aye. Happiness is what counts for children. Happiness and harmony.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the sign of our
okay.
times.
The we symbol shut of the that off now.
The mad craze
right.
that's sweeping.
Off. Thank you. Well, what did you think about Miss Veruca's attitude? Pretty bad, huh? She had some serious anger issues, didn't she? Why was it, do you think, that Veruca was so angry? Was it because her parents didn't give her everything that she wanted? Yes, that's right. Amen. Hey, we can provoke our children to wrath or anger or bitterness by not consistently disciplining them in love. You know what Miss Veruca needs? Is what every child needs. Consistent discipline in love. That's what our children need. And if we don't give that to them, we will provoke them to wrath. Understand that. It's not the opposite. We think if we coddle them and give them everything they want and adjust our lifestyle for their attitudes and wants and desires, that means they won't get angry or bitter. But that's the opposite. It's the total opposite. What we need to see is that children need discipline in their lives to help them know right and wrong and what the will of the Lord is. And this comes through consistent biblical discipline. You see, Veruca is an angry little girl because her parents fail to give her the discipline she needs. And that's what happens with children. So, how do we discipline our children? I'm glad you asked, because I'm fixing to tell you, okay? First of all, guard your child's heart. Guard your child's heart. Look what it says here. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Guard your child's heart. Now, if you sense they are angry or bitter at you, get right with them immediately. Now, understand, we do some things that legitimately make them upset with us or bitter at us. So what should we do? When we sense that they're angry at us or bitter, let's get it right. Use those principles that we talked about in Ephesians chapter 5 or 4 about going to your child to reconcile with them, going to someone to reconcile, make things right. If I've offended you or if I've wronged you, let me ask for forgiveness so that you can give me forgiveness and be released from the bitterness and anger that you are feeling. And then we can have harmony again, okay? Happiness and harmony, right? Listen, they wanted happiness and harmony for their child, but they were going about it the wrong way. Happiness comes when there's forgiveness in your heart, not bitterness, right? Can anyone be bitter and happy at the same time? Can you? No, of course not. That's an oxymoron. I'm the happiest bitter person all you'd ever meet. That's an oxymoron. That doesn't mix, okay? So what we need to see here is that we can have happiness and harmony when we guard our child's heart. If we do something like being too harsh or uncaring towards our child, then let's try and make it right. Let's try and make it right. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." So there's a balance there, right? The balance is this. I want to make sure my child knows right and wrong and discipline them and correct them for doing wrong or doing right when we want to give them positive encouragement. But I need to remember, I don't want to destroy their heart, destroy their spirit, okay? I don't want to crush my child. I want to help my child, okay? That's very important. So guard your child's heart. Then, secondly, look at verse 4 again. It says, "But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So love your child enough to spank them for disobedience and bad attitudes. Now, it doesn't say that right here, does it? But it does say train them and admonish them. Now, how does the Bible tell us to train or admonish our children? I'm going to tell you. You can write these verses down and look them up for yourself later on. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says this, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Now, look at verse 17 of Proverbs 29. It says this, Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, "Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Proverbs chapter 22 in verses 6 and 15 say this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, The rod of correction will drive it far from him. And finally, in Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Now, this is the word of God. Understand that. These are not my words. This isn't Bill Reynolds' counsel on how to discipline your child. This is the God who created you and your child telling you how to discipline your child. Now, the method is very clear. The method of discipline is the rod. Now, this rod is a flexible stick, kind of like a switch. You know, you may have gotten spanked with a switch when you were growing up. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we're talking about here. But some people use something else that's flexible, okay? That's the thing that I would say, something that's flexible. So it must be done in love, though. We must do it in love. Now, I want you to understand something. First of all, this is the method. So, I've heard a lot of people say they use time out and all this other stuff. Now, remember something about time out. This is what I kind of gather about time out. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's kind of my thinking on timeout, okay? That's just me, but I think it applies. Now, this is God's method, spanking. Spanking your children is God's method of disciplining your children. It has worked for 6,000 years, okay? It has worked for 6,000 years. All the other stuff that's come out recently that's supposed to be able to work has not produced the results that this produces. So, but it must be done in love. Now, I want to kind of just describe what I mean here, okay? So, it's my child's responsibility to obey me as their parent, okay? When my child disobeys God or disobeys me, my responsibility is to correct that child, okay? We need to let our kids know that our responsibility is to correct them. And if we don't correct them, we're showing that we don't love them. The Bible's clear in stating that if we don't spank them, we're showing we hate them. That's what the Bible says. So God knows us best, okay? So I tell my children that. They know that right from when they're a little toddler. I mean, right there. I'm serious. They know that right off the bat, okay? And it's amazing how they understand that very quickly. They really do. So my little child goes towards the stove, and I say, "No, don't touch the stove." And they look at you and go, well, does he mean it? What are we going to do? And he touches the stove. Well, what are you going to do then? "Oh, don't do that, honey." No, of course not. You're going to have to give him a spanking. Now, the way I give a spanking is when that happens, I take the child up, I sit them down, I say, "Now, you know the Bible says that you're supposed to obey me, and God wants you to obey, and you disobeyed, and you know the Bible says that I have to spank you, so I love you, and so that's why I'm going to give you a spanking." And then I give them a spanking, and they cry, and I don't spare for their crying. I give them a good spanking so they won't do it again. And then I say, "Okay, let's pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for disobeying. And let's let it go. Forget it. It's done. It's all over at that point." Aren't you glad that's how the Lord treats you when you ask for forgiveness? It's all done, all over. That's the way it is. Then your child has a clear conscience. You see, if you let behavior go over and over and over again, you're not helping your child because their conscience gets harder and harder and it gets seared. And if they'll disobey in that, then and they don't get punishment or clarity or forgiveness from God from it, they'll do worse stuff. Okay? So remember that. Okay? Remember, don't fail to spank your children. And if they have a bad attitude, oh, definitely need a spanking. Okay? We need to see that. Otherwise, we're going to raise verrucas. Okay? Oh, really? And I don't want anyone to have that problem. Remember, if you discipline your children the way God tells you to, they're going to be a blessing to you. They're going to give you rest instead of running you ragged. I'm amazed when I go into Walmart and I see how these kids are running their children, their parents, crazy. It's nuts. They're screaming, "I want this, I want that," screaming at the top of their lungs. And I'm like, if I could just give you some counsel, talking to the parent, if I could just give you some counsel, your life would be so much easier, so much better, okay? What I'm telling you is for your good and your child's good, okay? And it's from God's word. So be dedicated to it, okay? And then show them the ways of the Lord from his word. Show them the ways of the Lord from his word. It says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Okay? So these are wonderful verses telling us what we should do with our kids. You know what? At some point, your child has to make a decision whether they're going to follow God because they want to follow God and not because they're obeying you. Understand that. There has to come a time in your child's life where they decide, am I just doing the commandments of God because my parents want me to? Or am I doing them because I want to serve the Lord? How is that going to come about? How are they going to make the right decision right then? Only if they're taught the truths of God's word. And they see the benefits of it. Okay? That's why we've got to have it in our lives all the time, all day long, showing our kids how God's word is influencing our actions and behavior. God's way is always best. God's way is always best. That's what we need to teach our children. And that's what we need to understand. Don't let the psychologist that never had a kid tell you how to bring your child up. Honestly, that doesn't make sense. Use the method that God, that has worked for thousands of years and comes from God. Guard your child's heart against anger and bitterness. Spank them for disobedience and bad attitudes, and show them the ways of the Lord and praise them for doing right. Now, look at verses 5 through 9, and we're going to go through this quickly. I know my time is past, but I talked a few minutes about the prayer revival. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Now, family success comes when there is an understanding of how to behave in the workplace. Family success comes when there is an understanding of how to behave in the workplace. Now, the institution of slavery was entrenched in the society of the day which Paul wrote this letter. Okay? Now, we should not take these verses as an endorsement for slavery, but rather a guideline on our behavior in the workplace despite the circumstances that brought about the workplace environment. Okay? Throughout the years, there's been bad workplace environments. Okay? God's telling us how to behave in our workplace regardless of the environment. Okay? Now, I will say this, however. Back then, slaves were considered part of one's family. I believe that's why this is in the context of family, this instruction here, because slaves were considered part of one's family. Now, we don't have slaves and masters today, but we do have workers and bosses. And the same principles apply and will make us successful in the workplace. Now, I've seen this. I've seen families crumble when the dad loses job after job because of his failure to apply these principles. So it really does have a lot to do with the success of the family. If dad can't hold a job because he doesn't apply these principles, then it's going to hurt the family. It really does. And anyone else that's employed in the family. These principles are simple. An employee should respectfully and diligently serve his employer. We should do a good job because that is the will of our Savior, not because you get paid what you're, quote, worth. Understand that. We should do a good job because that is the will of our Savior. So we should work hard, be respectful to our bosses, and do the will of God, knowing that He will give us a reward someday. Okay? That is the employer's part. Now, as an employer, we should treat our workers with respect. We should treat our workers with respect. Look out for their welfare. Look out for them and do not lead them by intimidation. That's what we see here. Don't threaten them. Hey, you better get to work or you're out of here. You're going to lose your job. You know, that kind of thing. All right? Now, you may have to fire them if they're slackers, but do it with respect, okay? So understand that. Look out for their welfare, and don't lead them through intimidation. Now, understand, parents, if you teach these principles to your children, they're going to be very desirable in the workplace. If you teach your child to work hard and respect the boss, they're going to be very desirable. And they'll be able to get a job. And when they're 27 years old, they won't be living at your house leeching off of you. You understand what I'm saying? That's family success. That's what I'm talking about here. So, let's teach our kids and let's apply these principles to our lives, okay? So that's what I want us to remember. Now, in conclusion, once again, as with the verses about marriage, Christ is at the center of all we do in the family. I want you to notice the phrases, in the Lord, of the Lord, as to Christ, your own master. All these phrases point to the fact that Christ needs to be the center of our family and how we behave in our family. I promise you, if He is the center, then you will have a successful family.